Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. For the Transportation Security Administration, the 30-day cyber sprint last summer was an awakening. The government-wide effort didn't just refocus TSA on securing its data and networks, but gave the agency an opportunity to make up for budget shortfalls. Stephen Rice is the TSA Chief Information Officer. He tells Executive Editor Jason Miller about how TSA used the cyber sprint to its advantage.
It was an opportunity to kind of look at our business a little bit differently and look at risk long term. So when we start talking about that budget reduction, $65 million over the last 3 years, what we had done is cut around the edges. We hadn't turned any services off, but what that did is took away discretionary spend. And those what it was really is delaying recapitalization. So as we started looking at delays in recapitalization, we looked at it from delays in recapitalization and what that meant from a cybersecurity perspective. And were there portions of the infrastructure that were no longer going to be supported by the manufacturer, that would no longer allow us to patch, no longer be supported, and what was the risk perspective that that would create for the organization? We were very successful in working with the CFO and the department CFO in being able to do some reprogramming activities here at TSA that allowed us to acquire enough funding to really kick off 5 new projects that were just awarded at the end of fiscal year 15 that'll start executing starting in January 1st. First and foremost, we're replacing out our entire switching fabric for TSA. So we're replacing all the switches across the agency. Goal there is to have that done by end of calendar year 16. We're replacing all our routing infrastructure. So our routers will be replaced. We're hoping to get that done by June of 16. We're replacing out all of our land mobile radio equipment. So we had an aging infrastructure for our LMR handsets as well as our LMR repeaters. We're replacing all of the LMR infrastructure across the enterprise. Goal is to have that done by end of calendar year 16. We're still looking at the deployment strategies of whether we can hit that date or not, but that's the goal that we're working towards. From a cybersecurity perspective, we looked at our aging compute environment for the desktops, laptops. We're presently running Windows 7. That has, you know, it has its own challenges, but we said, you know, we need to be running the latest version of the operating system that allows us to buy down security risk, as well as that a lot of our equipment was coming towards its end of the warranty period. So we're going to be replacing all of our laptops, desktops. We'll be replacing all our training computers, all the laptops for TSA users, and introducing a lot of tablet computing across the enterprise as well. Goal there is to be running Windows 10, Microsoft Office 2016, starting to roll that out in January, having the enterprise done by December of 16 as well. And then finally, we have an aging infrastructure for our printing environment. So we're replacing all our network printers across metropolitan Washington area. Goal is to have that done by the June-July timeframe as well. But that kind of opens up another line of business as well, is to kind of look at, you know, what are your printing costs associated with each office, each user, and then are there methodologies to drive that cost down across the organization just to find efficiencies in the long term in that area as well. So that it's forcing us to look at inefficiency as well as recapitalization simultaneously in that line of business.
Are you able to tell me roughly how much money you're able to kind of reprogram? Because that's a nice list of initiatives you have out there, and there's a lot there that needs to get done.
Between reprogramming and contract savings that we've had, it was around $62 million.
Wow! So that $65 million hit that you took—that's some good math there. You're able to play that catch-up game, which is so important. People underestimate.
But the challenge that created—that was a one-time fix. So that did not come with tail. So that did not come with long tail. So what that allows me to do is do a one-time recapitalization expenditure to modernize. But, you know, a lot of things have to line up again to fix that problem in the future. The theme that we're talking with the staff about is internal to the organization is that this is a very large environment. We own a very large amount of equipment. That equipment gets old. You have to recapitalize, and the money will not be there in the future. We were very successful this year, but a lot we won't be successful every year in that methodology.
Right, and that's part of the discussion I think we had earlier about moving to the cloud and getting out of potentially owning your own infrastructure and moving to a different model. I mean, is that part of the consideration with the new contract that you're starting to go down that path of a COCO model, you know, a contractor-owned, contractor-operated?
The things that we are replacing are things that really wouldn't go out to the cloud. They're parts of the infrastructure that are going to be maintained even if we're operating the cloud. The switching core, the routing core will still be around. We'll always, you know, in our termination, we'll always have some sort of compute instrument in the hands of a TSA employee, so that we'll own those. You know, our printers, it's not such a large investment that we would ever outsource that. And then LMR, you know, is not something that's going to go out to the cloud. You know, we're cutting around the edges, but in our fixed infrastructure, storage, servers, and the like, those are the things that we're kind of looking out to that cloud model to kind of move away from a GoCo model to potentially a CoCo model. Yes.
So, because what I was thinking, just kind of out loud a little bit, is you could, for instance, we've seen this called seat management, outsource your desktop. So it's up to the contractor to keep refreshed and make sure the operating systems are up to date. You could outsource your printing infrastructure to have the contractor make sure the printers are working, the drivers are up to date, secured, all that. So that's why I was kind of wondering if you're going down that path as well eventually.
Well, as we've wrestled with that in the past, there's always been the challenge associated with the buyout at the end of those contracts. And some portions of our environment, we believe, will always exist. So we don't believe that it's in our best interest in all cases to, you know, lease those services out. In our case, it's been better for some elements of the infrastructure to remain in a GoCo model where we own the equipment, we lease it out, or we allow the contractor to operate it on our behalf. So those five elements we talked about before, we believe those will stay in that GoCo model. Servers, storage, firewalls, and the like, that those are things that would be part of the consideration that we'd have to delve into to say what that business model looks like in the future, though.
And just to be clear, of those four or five initiatives that you just outlined, the contracts have been awarded for all or most of those?
Yeah, they were all awarded at the end of fiscal 15.
One of the things that was focused on within the cyber sprint was the idea of two-factor authentication, privileged user access. Is that the area that you would say you made the most progress on? Or obviously, it was also dealing with critical vulnerabilities and also looking at your data assets that are most mission critical. Can you kind of give me a sense of where you think you saw the most progress?
TSA has always had a strong cybersecurity program. We have always understood the location security controls around our mission essential systems, our systems that hold bulk PII, and so those boundaries are well defined and secure. What really was the call or the challenge to us is, how do you buy down the risk of who has access to those systems through either the two-factor authentication with the PIV credential, or what are the tools that are in place to ensure that you're properly monitoring those persons that have privileged access on your systems? So in our model, we outsource a lot of services through integrator contracts. What vehicles, what tools, what processes do you have to ensure that you have proper oversight of those persons that have the privileged access? And then the next part that comes through is, the methodology for security had always been, protect at the perimeter, making sure that you're protecting to make sure that there is no compromise getting through the boundary to get into the network. Well, it's philosophically changing to say, moving from that mindset to a mindset that they're already here. So instead of just, protecting, heavily on the perimeter, is what are the processes that you have internal to make sure that if you see abnormalities in the processes or the compute environment, how do you ensure there are proper triggers and that there are analysts digging down for what you would see as just normal anomalies to ensure that there is nothing malicious in that activity. And then also designing yourself in such a way that you almost create hunt teams, groups of your analysts to make sure you're hunting through your own network to make sure that there are no anomalies out there, as opposed to just waiting for a trigger or sensor to kick off to say that there's something unusual. So it's a fundamental shift in our methodology and our approach on how we look at securing the environment.
Stephen Rice is Transportation Security Administration's Chief Information Officer. You can listen to his full interview anytime at federalnewsradio.com. 55 past the hour. This is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin. Follow us on Facebook.com/Federal News Radio and on Twitter. Our handle is @FedNewsRadio. Up next, the top national and federal headlines. I'm Tom Temin.